Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Guest Liners Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Good morning and welcome to the Charleston Guest Liners Prep Sports Report. And Happy New Year to each and every one of you out there. Good morning, Mark Lassiter.
Good morning, good morning.
James Dennis, good morning, pal.
Good morning and Happy New Year to both of you as well. It was a fun night last night. Bubbly was everywhere.
Well, Happy New Year, and we will remind you of this. We are recording this on Thursday night prior to New Year's Day, so it's a tradition that we have here, and 20 years plus, that's what we do. But we want to bring in a very special person, a man who from 1990 to 1996 was a head football coach at the University of Alabama, and he's coming to us live from Paris, Texas, and Coach Gene Stallings. And Coach, good evening. I hope you and Miss Ruth Ann had a wonderful Christmas and you were able to celebrate with the girls, and hope things are well in Paris, Texas for you. And it's great to have you visiting with us tonight. We want to get around to discussing a little bit about Alabama football and maybe discuss a few things that are on your heart about these upcoming bowl games. How you doing tonight, Coach?
Listen, I'm doing fine. You're going to have to talk loud. I don't hear very good anyway, and I'm on a cell phone in my truck.
Well,
just talk loud, and we'll get along just fine.
Well, we'll talk loud, and I want to tell you that Merry Christmas. I hope you had a Merry Christmas, and thank you for taking some time out with us.
We had an excellent Christmas. Had a number of the children here, and that always makes it fun. And had several grandchildren, so I guess we had 12 or 15, and and we had a good time.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful, Coach. Thank you so much again for taking your time on a busy day like today. And I'm just going to move right into this. You know, we've got an upcoming game tomorrow at 2:30, the Alabama-Cincinnati game, and we've got the Michigan-Georgia game. And I'd just like to have your thoughts about how you see these teams lining up with each other. You hear the pundits all over the board talking about it. But as a coach, tell us what you think on both sides of the ball here.
Well, now, first of all, the Alabama-Cincinnati game, that's – everybody loves to beat Alabama, and you know they can make the whole season. For example, Texas A&M beat Alabama, and they're still living off of that particular game. So I'm sure Cincinnati is fired up about the opportunity of playing against Alabama. It's just another game on Alabama's schedule. That's what makes Coach Saban such a great coach. Every time he plays, it's playing against somebody that would rather beat them than anybody else on their schedule. And he does an outstanding job in keeping his team focused. And I think they'll be focused this week. I don't think Cincinnati will beat Alabama. I think it'll be a little closer early part of the game than a lot of people anticipate. But I think when the game is over, Alabama will win the game 12-14 points.
You know, Coach, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the way things go with coaching now at the University of Alabama. It was always a big thrill for those of us high school coaches from 1990 to 1996 to get a phone call from Randy Ross and to come and work your camp. And both Mark Lassiter and myself had six great camps with you. But, you know, in those days, you hired coaches who not only coached on the field but did all the recruiting. Today it seems like, Coach, it's not the way it is.
No, and they recruit a whole lot better. For example, the great, great majority of the players when I was coaching at Alabama were from the state of Alabama. There was a few that was in Louisiana and Mississippi and so forth, but most of them were from Alabama. And the same thing with Coach Bryant. You know, he wanted somebody that grew up hating Auburn. you take a lot of the players now, they don't even know where Auburn is. They have them all over the country, and then they have great recruiting. In fact, Alabama has not been an underdog, and I don't know how many games. But they play extremely well, and they've got good football players. and they've got depth. They'll lose one player, and you can't even tell it. The next one fits right in. Same way about his coaches. You can't imagine how many new coaches he has every year, and yet you look at them, and they just fall right in place, and then they do the job. And they coach the way Coach Saban wants it coached, not the way they particularly want it coached.
That's good stuff.
Coach Stallings, we had him in addition to his first quarterback to win the Heisman at Alabama, and you know you've been pretty high on him as a quarterback all year. Were you surprised to see that he won the Heisman?
No, I was not. I mean, he's an outstanding player, and the Heisman always comes off of a good football team. You know, he's got outstanding receivers. He's got good protection. He can tuck the ball down and run with it. He's a real deal, and he'll probably be the difference in the game when they play against Cincinnati.
You know, Coach, I can remember sitting in that conference room with you, and you were giving us some rules of law, and one of the high school coaches asked you who the best high school player you ever saw. And I think you told us it was a kid from Youngstown, Ohio, if I remember correctly.
Mike DeNiro.
Yes, Mike DeNiro. And unfortunately, we lost that young man. His brother, I think, ended up at the university thanks to you, if I'm not mistaken.
His brother played at Alabama, and my player was he drowned. He
right.
Was at Texas A&M, which was a military school, you had to be able to swim. Was Mike was deathly afraid of the water. And he told me and told everybody, he said, if I have to swim, I'm telling you now, I am not going to Texas A&M. Well, we made an exception and got him in. And anyway, unfortunately, he did drown.
Yes, sir.
And he was an outstanding football player from Youngstown, Ohio, and I kept in contact with his mother and dad for a long time. Have not heard from him lately.
You know, Coach, I got to tell you a little story. One thing that I read the book Junction Boys back in 2001, and I was taking a new job as a head coach, and I called one of our assistants who worked on your staff, I think, Al Ernest worked for you for a little while back in the early 90s. Anyway, he found us a place to go to the camp. But I remember one thing in that book where it said that you had come into the Quonset hut one afternoon, and it was so hot, and you were on the top bunk. It was so hot you could feel the heat on you, because like you were like 6 to 8 inches from the top of that Quonset hut. And that's how hot it was in that building.
The only cute thing that happened at Junction, and I know we don't have a lot of time, but we would just be down to nothing. It was football, 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 meetings. Coach Bryant came in the meeting room, and he said, tomorrow is Sunday. How many of you guys would like to go to church? But we all threw our hands up. He had the manager go around and write a name down, and Coach Bryant looked at that list, and he said, isn't this nice? Everybody want to go to church? We're going to go right after we practice.
I've heard that before. You told us that story, Coach. I knew that was coming.
Oh, man.
That was the only cute thing that happened at Junction.
That's great.
Anyway, I can remember that well. I remember saying to the guy that was – Charles Semlin, the banjo, said, Charlie, get me. I go to church. He said, Babe, I'll get you. I said, well, be sure and get me. Only one player named Henry Clark did not go. He was married, and his wife was expecting a baby. And he said he had to stay around the telephone. And
there you go.
All the rest of us went to church. And looked at the First Baptist Church there in Junction, and that was 12-14 on one row, and every one of us
sounds
You know, Coach, you're talking about games and the Cincinnati game and other games, and I cannot remember the reporter that asked you one time about a particular game that's being played, and he said something to you along the lines of, well, this is not an important game. And I believe your remark back to him was, it isn't unless you lose it. So I guess one would say that the season's filled with some important games and unimportant games, but Alabama tomorrow is playing one that is of extreme importance for the national championship, and I thank you for your comment.
And I think they'll win the game okay, but I think it's going to be tougher than they think. It's just another game on Alabama's schedule. It's the biggest game that Cincinnati has ever been in.
No doubt.
And They've been looking forward to this game, talking about it, reading about it, thinking about it. And unfortunately, they're going to have to play it before long. And I think Alabama will win the game. But I think it's going to be a little closer early than most people think.
Coach, we got to get out of here, but it's always great to hear your voice.
We love you absolutely, so much. Coach. Happy New Year. Thank you for taking your time.
God bless.
Well, listen, it's always a joy to be on your show, and you guys have a happy New Year and roll time.
Roll time. Thank you, Coach.
We'll be back with more on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Local attorney Braxton Kemp is a lobbyist in both Montgomery, Alabama and Washington, D.C. Braxton has joined forces with former Tennessee Congressman Jimmy Duncan to assist you with governmental affairs problems. Both of these gentlemen have great influence in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C., and many of you rely on either the state or the federal government for their businesses. Braxton and Jimmy Duncan can put you in front of the right people to assist you. It's all about relationships, and both Braxton and Jimmy have those connections to assist you. Give Braxton Counts a call at 251-476-9900. Guys, it's always great to have a chance to visit with Coach Stallings. And some of my best memories of being a high school coach were sitting in that conference room and listening to him tell stories. And I'm telling you, there was a lot of stories told. And let me just say this. He did not exchange Christmas cards with the owners of the St. Louis Cardinals for many years. I can promise you there were some hard feelings there, but he certainly enjoyed a great tenure in the NFL. But what we all love him for is for what he did for the University of Alabama. And I know, Mark, you shared in many of those camps, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience for coaches to be able to do that. And I want to talk a little bit more about this Alabama game that we don't know the result of it, because you're hearing this on Saturday morning. We're taping this show on Thursday night, and
I'm living in tomorrow.
And you're living it tomorrow?
I'm living in tomorrow.
Okay. Well, you are.
I'm really enjoying this show tonight. Yes.
Well, the thing about it is I really think Cincinnati's got a small chance of winning this football game, very small. But I think that if they start off fast, if they get some kind of turnover quick and get into the end zone, they make a special teams play that gets them to a quick touchdown. If they get a little momentum, after watching them play Georgia last year, momentum plays such a huge role. But I'm going to tell you right now, I just don't think – and I know they've got two great cornerbacks. And the people that I talk to tell me that the one who doesn't get as much notoriety – is just as good as the one who they say is the best one. So it looks like to me Williams is – they don't feel like they'll have any trouble covering him. And with Michi out and you know, I think the guy – James Dennis said this last year. The guy you better watch is that tight end.
Yes.
And Jaleel Billingsley, it's time for him to
– blowout game.
To rise up and stand tall. And – but I don't – I just
– I've been waiting for him all year long.
I know. But for the life of me, Mark, I can't see Cincinnati beating Alabama unless something – I mean, they got to play a perfect game, and Alabama's just not got to show up.
Well, I think – you know, the thing about it is Cincinnati is, like Coach Stallings said, this is the game of the century, the biggest game that school has ever played in, ever. And they're going to come out and throw the kitchen sink. And they'll get a really good head football coach who's real even keel, even, you know, he's not going to make this, you know, like a hoorah, rah, rah. They're just going to be excited to play in this ball game. And they're going to come out with, and they have a good team. And it's a matchup deal is a little bit different. The matchup that I see that is going to hurt Cincinnati in this deal is their inability to stop the running game. Yeah. Alabama's running game should be able to move the football. They are 47th in the nation against the run. Look, and that's now, in that conference that they're playing in. That's not in the SEC. Yeah. So I think Alabama can run the ball on them and hurt them, especially late in the game.
Look for Alabama to establish that running game, play action passes. Don't be surprised if Cincinnati jumps out on top. Alabama's had that problem a couple of times this year. Kind of look disheveled. I think they'll be ready to play, but Cincinnati's going to be up on a cloud that they hadn't been on in a long time. So the momentum may go with them in the beginning, but the consistency and the belief system of Alabama in winning and coming from behind to do that, whatever Cincinnati does, Alabama's going to match it and then some.
And I don't think they have seen linemen like they're about to see on either side of the ball. No. The size of the linemen they're about to play. I know they hadn't seen a defensive end like Will Anderson. They hadn't seen anything like him.
No, they hadn't. And, you know, we're talking about everybody, the pundits in the Alabama-Georgia game. They didn't give Alabama. Coach Stallings mentioned it's been a while since they've been behind. It's been, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, as far as in the game and what they were saying. But they faced a team that they really didn't have a choice. Came from behind. Georgia scored 10-0, and then all of a sudden they got in the click and moved on. That momentum builder for that game establishes Alabama as the foremost authority now to win the national championship, in my opinion. And I think they know how to do it, and I think it's like Polar Express, just believe.
Right.
And they do, you know?
I don't think there's any doubt that every member of that team believes they can win the national championship again. And you know, when you look at it, the two games that are going to determine who plays in that national championship game on January the 10th, I believe, is the date of that.
I don't know.
Yes.
But when you look at that, this second game, the night game that was played last night, to me is going to be the most interesting of the two games, because I think Michigan can line up with Georgia on both the offensive and the defensive line. Michigan's got the best offensive line in the country. That's already been established. I just think that offensively, Georgia has got to be better than they've been offensively. And because I really like the scheme that Michigan uses, and I think it will give Georgia a little bit of trouble. And I think what they saw Alabama do, they're going to try to emulate it.
They're going to mirror that, like you're talking about, Mark.
A lot of times, you know, I think my son Landon taught me this, and y'all correct me if you think he's wrong, but I kind of believe that he might be right, is that normally when you get into the bowl games or you get into big ball games, the team with the better quarterback normally wins the game.
Yes.
I agree with that.
And I think that's kind of where we're looking at. And I think that's what the folks in Georgia have been screaming all year, is that they just don't have their quarterback. They don't feel like can make plays. Now, I think he's done some really good things. But at the same time, I don't think you can put the game on his shoulders to win it.
How would you like to be a player on the Alabama team now that you've gone through and won in Auburn, with the comeback that the quarterback you have, who's now won the SEC champ, who's now the Heisman winner? If I'm taking that field with him as a leader now,
good.
I feel pretty good about him being able to tell me what to do or call the play that they need to have fallen through with the offensive coordinator or whatever it's called, and give him the freedom to call it. I think he's a game changer, and I think he can be a game manager when he's changed the game.
Right. I agree.
Well, and I agree with that. I did want to mention one thing. You know, Bill O'Brien's been out, and the offensive line coach has been out for a week. I think it's a great move what Coach Saban did to bring Joe Penry in there.
One of my favorite guys.
I mean, he's one of my favorite of all time offensive line coaches, and they're not going to skip a beat. They're not going to miss a rep. And they're not, that's not going to happen.
Like Coach Stallings said, just fills the slot.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Just here we go. Yeah. I got an answer for that.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, just crazy is you keep watching all these teams from everywhere and people are losing coordinators. Oh, what are we going to do? Well, Alabama's been going through that now for the last 7 or 8 years, 9 years. Seems like they can't keep a coordinator but 2 or 3 years, and they go somewhere else and they become head coaches. You know, they become head coaches somewhere. Yeah. And then he's got to get somebody new. And what happens? They still win 11 games a year.
Mental Rolodex Saban must have.
You know, really? but everybody wants to come there.
True.
There's no doubt. If you're a football coach and if you've had some tough times, where better to go than to go to Nick Saban? Where better to go than to go there? Because I can tell you, Nick Saban has made many coaches taken them out of the graveyard and put them back on top of the world. And there's no better one to look at than his offensive coordinator right now.
Right, who could very well be up for a head coaching job we don't know about yet. because he's got great experience. He's a tremendous football coach. I mean, who knows if he's going to stick around for more than a year? I don't know.
Well, as defensive coordinator, obviously he's been mentioned for a lot of and Pete Golden.
Pete Golden.
And, you know, hopefully he'll get that opportunity. I mean, really, I do. I hope he does. I think he's done a heck of a job.
And the sounds of the old gospel, country gospel music, where would I go but to Tuscaloosa? Where would I go? Where would I go?
Well,
where would I go but to Tuscaloosa?
Well, and you look at the people, what did he do for Lane Kiffin?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, Lane Kiffin, it's
Checkbook time, and
I think he helped Lane Kiffin in a lot of personal ways as much as he did.
I think Lane's become a lot better coach.
I do too.
And a person.
Yeah, right. I think so too.
As a person.
All right,
which makes you a better coach.
This thing's flying by. As Happy New Year to you out there. We're recording this on Thursday night before we don't know who won the Alabama game. We don't know who won the Michigan game, but you do. So, Happy New Year from Mark, Rick, James,
and Charlie.
Welcome back to the Charleston Guest Lanterns Prep Sports Report. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lantern Prep Sports Report. Happy New Year out there. Hope you guys are having black-eyed peas and ham hocks and everything Buttercup used to cook. I know you don't do that, Mark. I bet your mom and daddy did it for a long time, and I know James Dennis is going to do it tomorrow.
I'm not going to cook you, but Nancy is.
We got turnip greens, black-eyed peas, cornbread.
That's good.
And Boston butt.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Have you ever had collards and cabbage together?
Yes, I have.
See, that right there is that's
something else.
That's a slobber knocker to me, buddy. I'm just telling you. So that's what I'm cooking today. And
you know what my favorite thing with cabbage is?
What's that?
Kaneka sausage.
I'm doing that
too. Cook it together. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I do that, too. I put that in there.
Can we just go ahead and talk about food for a
minute? No, we can't do that. We want to get back to this. Hey, Premier Collision is your home for all your auto body and collision problems. Good quality parts, professional staff, and the best prices in town. Give Chris Garris a call at 251-478-4500. They're located at 1177 Sledge Drive in Mobile, Alabama. I'm going to tell you, you guys have got to check out this radio show. Randy Bergen just does an awesome job with the Southern Fairways golf radio show. It's the premier golf show in the Southeast. It covers high school, college, amateur, professional tours, 52 weeks a year, and it's recognized by many of golf's top magazines as the top golf show in the industry. Randy Bergen on Sunday mornings from 11 to 12. You don't want to miss him. A lot of stuff going on. Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers gets a call from Frank Wright. Philip, are you interested at all in going? And Philip said, I am your biggest supporter. I'm pulling for you, and I hope you guys do well. We're on vacation, Mama, and all these chilling, and we are just having a blast, and I hope everything works out well in Indianapolis.
I am retired.
I'm retired. Isn't that kind of neat, though? Isn't that kind of neat? Have you seen the fortress he's building out there?
Yes.
Man alive.
It is a fortress extraordinaire.
And his daddy, if I'm not mistaken, I think Steve Rivers is going to be down here full time. I really do. The only thing that would keep Steve from being here, I think, is his wife's mama. They live right next to them or close to them, and maybe mom and daddy. I'm not sure.
Where do they live?
They're in Decatur.
They're in Decatur.
So I just can't imagine Philip being on that sideline without Steve for much longer.
I hope he don't come down here because that's some gunk can coach.
He can fleck it. He's gonna be.
I know. We're in a region.
Yeah, that's gonna be something.
It's gonna be a tough Friday night for you.
I think.
Yeah.
Tracy and I were riding by St. Michael's the other day on the outskirts, and I said, you know, one day it's just gonna be all St. Michael's, all that property, that farm property. The diocese is gonna buy all of that up, I'm sure, and. Man, that's going to be some kind of facility before it's all over.
It really is. They have a lot of land out there, and they got a lot of support. And I'm thrilled for them. I really am.
I am too.
We got to play them, and I know that sounds funny. It's going to be a team in our region, but I mean, I'm happy for that group of folks, and what they want to, what they're trying to build is really nice.
That's the glory about how the started idea begins, it blossoms, it moves forward, and the development side of it and what they're doing now. That's the prosperous thing you want to see for a community, for our city and our region and everything else, and what they'll be able to do with all those young people and changing of their lives and giving the spirit back to the community. That's just a wonderful blessing.
It really is.
You know,
it really
glad
is.
To see it. Kudos to them. Yeah.
Yep.
And then some.
They're going to have to widen that road out there, too. I tell you that much. First of all, you can't get in and out of Three Circles Church because there's so many people.
That's right.
That place, like we came out of there, we went to the candlelight service trying to get out of that thing last week at that candlelight. And you could, it's so many people coming in and out. It's just huge. And so with that development going on, with that school going to be growing out there, there's more housing going out. It's just going to grow. And they got a really good – Philip Rivers is going to do a fantastic job.
I love their athletic director. I think he's just one
of the – Paul does a great
Paul
job.
Paul is just
yeah,
one of
the – Good guy.
I
one of the fine
the
people.
Of Paul. Just a great, great guy. And, you know, Don Blanchard is teaching driver's ed. They're a heck of a football coach. And I'm – Mark, you got to stay with me. Mark's watching the Tennessee-Purdue game.
This game's in overtime.
This game's in overtime.
Everybody's watching that.
Yeah.
We're with you, Rick.
But Don Blanchard is teaching driver's ed. I think he's retiring this year. But I would have loved to seen him and Philip work together because that – boy, as good a defensive coordinator as Don Blanchard
was. No doubt. Don, tremendous coach and even better person. You know, I really think the world,
think
of, Don
the world
Blanchard.
Of Don Blanchard. Really do. Think he's just something special. Couple of new coaches. Blunt has decided. Blunt's, the principal there is taking a – I think he's taking a leap of faith. He's hiring a young man who's 34 years old. Young man by the name of Josh Harris. He's been at Scarborough Middle School, won a middle school championship in Mobile. 34 years old now. Never been a head coach of a high school. I don't think he's ever been on the staff of a high school. He played at Blunt, played for Ben Harris. No relationship, no kin.
Right.
But, boy, I'm telling you, that is a leap of faith for Principal Woods out there at Blunt. They got a lot of wonderful coaches there. But that is a leap of faith. Viger has hired a new defensive coordinator, Deshaun Davis.
Right, from Auburn.
All-SEC linebacker. Said he was too small to play linebacker in the Southeastern Conference.
Right.
All-SEC linebacker. Got a little cup of coffee in the NFL. But Deshaun's coming back based upon board approval. But they've Coach John McKenzie has hired Deshaun Davis to lead the Viger defense. And, of course, he replaces Renardo Jackson, who applied and got the LaFleur job.
Right.
And a lot of people have told me kind of off the record, said, Coach, there were more applicants for the LaFleur job than there were for the Blunt job.
Wow.
Now, I don't know that to be true,
sure.
But I'm sure that there were a lot of people that wanted the Blunt job. But the LaFleur job must be an exciting job.
I mean, it's a job, I think, that, you know, can only go up.
Right.
You know, and it's a place where if you could ever get that thing turned around into the way you want it going, it could be something special. Because they've always had athletes at LaFleur.
No
There's
doubt.
Always been athletes there. They just it's been predominantly a basketball,
yeah.
You know, school. It's been
yeah.
What's kind of overrun everything. Not overrun, but kind of been the focal point of their athletic program for the
yeah.
guys. So, you know, hopefully Coach can come in and get it started. I'm really glad to see Blunt taking a
yeah,
chance on
I
a young
too.
Guy, you know,
I
and
too.
Giving him a shot and say, yeah. Hey, let's go get this thing done and let's see what happens. And hopefully he'll be able to do it.
I know a lot of people told me that Scarborough had a heck of a middle school program and they won the city championship in middle school. So congratulations to a 34-year-old young man by the name of Josh Harris, a new head football coach at Blunt High School. That will really be interesting to see that. These two guys, I'm sitting here keep talking. James Dennis and Mark Laster can't keep their eyes off
Tennessee.
No,
we're looking at you, Rick. We think we're looking at
Tennessee and Purdue are in overtime.
Yeah,
again,
it's 45-45.
Oh, 45-45.
Maybe we talk about the Michigan game.
Well, we can talk about that in just
That's
going to
be like a – what's it called? A
slobber knocker.
Yeah, it's going to be a slobber knocker.
It is going to be. And Jim Harbaugh, you know what? I have the utmost respect for what he did. He said, cut my salary. Cut my salary. He hired six new assistant coaches. He gave Josh Gattis, pretty much he said, look, Josh, we brought you in here to run one offense. We're ditching that offense, and we're going to run the old Michigan offense. And we're going to line up, and we're going to run right at people, and we're going to have offensive linemen that do their job, and we're coming right at you. And I, to be honest with you, I'm a big Kirby Smart fan. I hope Michigan and Alabama both win. I'd like to see I'd like to see that matchup.
I would too. I really would.
I think it could get the Alabama-Georgia could be a little hungover for a national championship. People had to watch it. And I also think I'm not going to be as excited about it as I would like to see an Alabama-Michigan game.
Me either.
That would be an exciting game for me and I think for the entire nation that happens. And I think the viewing audience will be extremely high.
I would, and I think there'll be a whole lot of Michigan fans out there.
I think
so. It's like Coach Stallings said, everybody wants to beat Alabama. They've just been up there for so long. I mean,
so where is the national championship game? Why do I not know that? They're playing in Dallas and Miami. And where is the final?
Indianapolis, right?
Indianapolis, that's right.
Yes.
I should know that. My sister's trying to get me to find tickets for her. I said, I know a guy that can find tickets for you.
Mm. You can find tickets. They find the price.
That's the truth. That might have to be her Christmas present.
And there'll be several Christmas presents. St. Nick would have to.
Yeah. That's a great town, too. I don't know if you've ever been to Indianapolis. It is a wonderful, wonderful town, and there's plenty to do and great establishments, and that'll be a fun trip for whomever makes that trip. I can assure you of that. We're going to talk a little basketball after a while. We're going to talk with a buddy, Jimbo Talbert, who's always full of fun and frolic, but he's a heck of a basketball coach. Spanish Fort just went up and played in the Huntsville City Classic, the 39th year for that tournament. And I'm telling you, they play really good basketball up there. You know, we've had Jack Doss on a couple of times. And, of course, he's won 10 state championships and won over 800 games as a basketball coach. And Jimbo and them were 1-2 in the tournament. Jack Doss's team he's coaching at Grissom now. You know, you're familiar with that. It was a new – it wasn't there when you were there.
Yeah, it was.
It was. They just started. It was a brand-new school, wasn't it?
Relatively, yeah.
And Ronnie Stapler was a head basketball coach there for a long time. And Jack is taking that job. Last year they just won a few games. He said, next year, watch out. So they're 14-2 going into this tournament, and they played in the finals of that tournament.
You.
So it was really interesting that all that took place.
Who was the host school?
Huntsville High School was. Jack Schwears, who used to be the head basketball coach at Trinity, former assistant to our buddy Larry Chapman at AUM, Jack was.
Okay.
He passed away a year and a half ago, and his son, Christian, took that job. Christian played basketball at Auburn.
Gotcha.
So they were the host. There they are. There's our boys. There's Becker and Fagan. And they talking about reeling in the years. I'm telling you, we love some Steely Dan here at the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. We'll be back
Charleston Gas Lanterns.
Help me again with that.
106.5 Prep Sports Talk Report.
I love that.
The Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Happy New Year out there to you folks. We hope y'all have an amazing, amazing, blessed New Year's Day.
And for those with the larger heads than they had last night, we hope you feel better later in the day.
Remember that we are recording this on a Thursday night, and we do not know what happened last night in the yesterday in the Alabama-Cincinnati game, nor do we know what happened in the Michigan-Georgia game. But I can promise you we'll talk about that next Saturday morning, Mark.
That'll be something we'll spend.
Can we pretend for 1 minute that we know what happened?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. We're,
do you think about that 48-17 score, Alabama over Cincinnati, and some of the plays that Billingsley is a tight end? I mean, he was awesome last night, yesterday.
Yeah. I thought he did a great job, but he cannot be overshadowed by the young man. Is his name G. Hall?
Yes.
I've been reading a lot about
here. And what about Brooks? Caught, what, two touchdowns?
Brooks, two touchdowns.
And Bryce Young threw for over 400 yards. What a heck of a day he had yesterday.
Oh, so y'all are going ahead, and y'all are saying on Thursday night, this is what's going to happen tomorrow.
Well, I said we could pretend.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay, that's fine.
We've just transported ourselves. Let's have a Dr. Spock moment. Yeah, Dr. Spock moment. Hit the transporter.
And so you say the score is going to be 48-17, right?
Yes, 44-48. I think it was 48-17 if I look into the future.
Well, I think Cincinnati will be lucky to score 17, to be honest with you. I'm thinking it's going to be something like maybe 41-10 or something.
Michigan
like
won
that.
41, what, 38 last night?
I think that one's going to be really low
scoring. It's low scoring. I think
it's going to be a 21-17, 24-21. 28-24.
I'm like you. I'm like
that's
that.
What I think.
Yeah, I don't think either one of them are going to score more than 24 points. I really don't. I think 24 wins it. I think 24 wins the Michigan game. That's for what it's worth. You know, we were talking to Coach Stallings earlier, and if you missed that, this show is replayed on Sunday night from 9 to 11. And that's been a really good thing for us. I've got a lot of good comments on that, and you can catch the podcast. There's multiple ways you can hear the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report on Saturday morning from 8 to 10, and on Sunday night from 9 to 11. And then you can always go back and look at the podcast, and they'll be up by Saturday morning at noon. That's pretty neat too. But something that has changed is when Coach Stallings was at Alabama. I can remember him talking about how all of his coaches were on the road. You know, they got on the road, and we'd see Mike Dubose, we'd see all the assistants, and spend time with them, and get on the board with them, and have fellowship with them. Now, I don't know how many coaches on Coach Saban's staff actually recruit. I don't know that. I'm not as familiar with that, but I know this. He's got some that they're hired because they're great recruiters. And I think he coaches them to coach whatever he wants them to coach.
There's a reason for his recruiting scheme, and it has to do with the fact that since he's been at the University of Alabama, there's an entire compliance team before you can even get a gift to him, a card from him, anything like that. And he is so strict about these recruiting rules and to ensuring that the integrity of his program does not, in this later stage of his life or at any time, be tarnished by any slight even insinuation of a scandal or anything. That's one of his reasons about recruiting. He keeps that so close-knit to the box that – and it's not that anybody's doing anything wrong. He just doesn't want things to get out of – that's the way he's about everything at that program. Keep it in the box, and that has a lot to do with it. And more coaches are doing that, you know?
Well, you know, I know Coach Saban is – what we know about him is he is – I mean, he's a rule guy. And, I mean, he doesn't want anybody to waver from that. I just, you know, the NC2A right now is just in the midst of just being broken down. But with all this name, image, and likeness, and with the transfer portal, the NC2A is absolutely, they're redoing everything.
Yes.
Because, and they're, really, their authority has been diminished. It has been. So, I've heard Coach Stallings talk about this. The transfer portal, I don't know how y'all feel about it, but what Dabo Swinney has said, I like what he said. If they graduate, they can go wherever they want to go. But if they're there to get an education. And the first thing, if they want to transfer and the coach is still there, let's say Coach Saban is still at Alabama and a sophomore wants to transfer, that rascal ought to have to sit out a year.
Yes.
You shouldn't be able to go and transfer from Alabama to Mississippi,
anywhere
in the country, and you got to sit out a year. I'm adamant.
I think that's
that.
A good rule because I think it keeps some players in place that should be, and I think that rule kind of levels the field for all the teams. And let's face it, if you're headed to a national championship or a good possibility of that, a guy looks at that and goes, I want to coach. I'm going here now. And that's what's happening.
Yeah.
So I just think it's an uneven field, and I think that would make it a level playing field for everyone, probably slow a lot of them down and diminish the number of transfers that are taking place.
Well, you know, all three of us remember when freshmen weren't eligible.
Right.
Yes.
They just weren't eligible. They couldn't play that first year. And Coach Bryan always made this statement. They need that year to get adjusted to being away from mama.
Right.
And to get adjusted to college life.
Correct.
Well, if a sophomore wants to transfer from Alabama to Penn State, it's going to take him a year to get used to that environment at Penn State. And I don't think anybody thinks about that anymore.
They don't. It's not even in the equation anymore. It's and with the new financial incentives that players are able to get with the endorsements, it's like I listened to an interview of Texas A&M coach. Oh man,
Jimbo
Fisher. Yeah, interview he had. And he was talking in the interview about the portal just made it legal. I mean, the endorsements just made it legal.
Yeah,
he
sure.
said not it went on before, but most people didn't know about it. But now they've just made it legal what actually occurred before. And he said, I'm not saying I ever did it. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that it happened. And we all know it did.
Right.
Well, you look at this this young man who skipped his senior year in Texas, the best year of his life, and his teammates had a chance to win a state championship, and the starting quarterback left, enrolled at Ohio State because in Texas they could not take money under name, image, and likeness in the high schools. Many states
right.
you can. So he goes to Ohio State, makes a large sum of money, never plays a down, and is now he's transferring out. I wonder if that name, image, and likeness, that deal is going to stay on in his back pocket.
Now, is he going – didn't he – I see where he's – is he headed to Texas?
He is.
Yes.
He is going to Texas.
Yeah. Well, he'll pick up a new one if that one
I'm
drops.
Sure, I'm sure of that. But, that's – that whole transfer.
It is the way of the way of the game today, and it is the way
they're going to have to get a handle on it somehow.
Well,
it'll take them 3 years before they get it's out there. It's the old thing. It's out of the box.
Control
out of control now. It'll take them a while to rein it back in.
It can't take 3 years. That's too long. It's got to be done now. And the other thing is, they got to do something about this helmet to helmet thing.
Yeah,
the targeting thing is one thing, but
I
got you. Got to get out right now.
Got to get out.
Come back to it.
We'll be back and talk a little bit more about that. 1 hour's gone. We'll be back. Happy New Year out there to all you folks. Hope you have a great day. We'll be back with the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report.
You got it.
It's time for the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report. Local attorney Braxton Counts is a lobbyist in both Montgomery, Alabama and Washington, D.C. Braxton has joined forces with former Tennessee Congressman Jimmy Duncan to assist you with governmental affairs. Both of these gentlemen have great influence in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C., and many of you rely on either the state or federal government for their business. Braxton Counts and Jimmy Duncan can put you in front of the right people to assist you. It is all about relationships, and both Braxton and Jimmy have those connections to assist you. Give Braxton Counts a call at 251-476-9900. This past week in Huntsville, they had the 39th annual Huntsville City Classic, and one of the premier high school basketball tournaments in the Southeast. And I'm going to tell you, if you know anything about high school basketball, there were some premier teams in this tournament and always have been. And one of the teams that was there was the Spanish Fort Toros, and head coach Jimbo Tolbert. I think Jimbo's in his fourth year at Spanish Fort, and they went into the tournament with a 10-4 record. They were 2-0 in the area. They were ranked 6th in the latest 6A poll, and they were the 2020 6A state runner-up. And now Jimbo and the Toros, they have two starters that are out. Their point guard, Carl Fontroy, who signed with UAB, signed with our buddy Bill Clark, 6'1 point guard, and he's a player, I'm telling you. And then a big power forward named Cameron Keyshock. And Cameron signed a baseball scholarship with Auburn, And boy, if they had those two guys, I'm telling you, they would be something to deal with. And I'm telling you, they're still something to deal with because Jimbo does such a great job. We're going to visit with Jimbo. Jimbo, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing fine, Coach. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you. And I know one thing, Mark Laster's over here just got a smile on his face hearing your voice.
I do, man. Good to hear you, buddy.
Coach, great to hear you. Hope you guys both had a very Merry Christmas and look forward to bringing in the new year here shortly.
Well, absolutely.
We're excited about that. Of course, when this show is played, it will be New Year's Day, and we'll know if Alabama won or if Georgia won, and maybe most people will be happy. But I know that you guys – tell us a little bit about that Huntsville tournament, because I know that that was a – man, that was one heck of a tournament. And it's just, first of all, it's great to be invited to it, and that tells you that you're one of the best programs in the state. So tell us a little bit about what happened in the Rocket City this past week.
Yeah, it was an absolute honor to receive an invitation from Scott Stapler and his crew up in the Huntsville area to invite us to come to such a prestigious tournament. I mean, I remember, you know, when I was in high school, you know, and just hearing about all the great games and the great teams and the great players that have been through there, as well as the great coaches, and to finally be a part of it and see it, it was an unbelievable experience, not only for myself, but obviously for our program. And we kind of went in there with a mindset of, hey, this is a regional kind of a Final Four type atmosphere. They did such a great job. I mean, The local radio affiliate up there, I think it's 97.7 from the Tennessee Valley. I mean, they're interviewing coaches at halftime and after the game and stuff, and they did such a great job of putting it on. But, you know, we went up there to kind of have those type of experiences as far as game-like and having that regional Final Four feel to it. And we played the host team, Huntsville High School, and led by another guy that you probably know, Christian Schwears, his daddy Jack Schwears, legendary yep. coach from Montgomery at Trinity Presbyterian. But you know, they let us know pretty quick. We competed for a while, and then I think size and they've got two guards that are unbelievable that just kind of put it away at the end. I think we lost by about 16 points, and had to come back the next day, 9 o'clock in the morning, and play an unbelievably talented Jacksonville High School team. They've got a junior, 6'8", 6'9", junior. I think he has some relation to the Croyle family, and I'm telling you, he's got offers from a bunch of Power Five schools already. And Colby Horace not only hit a shot at the end of regulation to send it to overtime, but he also hit one beyond half court to win the game.
Yeah, Jimbo.
Then of course, we had to come back that evening, and we lost to Buckhorn, coached by Patrick Harding.
Yeah, that the one you're talking about there from Jacksonville High School is John David Phillips' son, and that's Raleigh Crowell. That's John Crowell's grandson that you're
yes,
talking
sir.
About, and he's a big time player, but. You know, you started out with Huntsville, and I don't know, you may not be familiar with this, but having coached basketball in Dothan at Northview, we used to go down and play Choctahatchee and all those guys down in Fort Walton, and yeah. Huntsville just went into Northwest Florida and won that tournament, and that's pretty good basketball. They beat a team out of Kentucky, Marshall County, and they beat University Laub out of Baton Rouge, and that's two pretty doggone good basketball teams, I can tell you that. So you didn't have an easy game at all in that tournament if you opened up with Huntsville.
No, sir. And yeah, we knew what we were getting. They've got two really good guards, Messiah Morris and another kid that's, I believe, a junior. I forget his name already.
Jamari Arnold.
He hit 7 threes against us. And had a game high 30 points.
Ooh.
But you know, shooting in his own gym, he felt it early and just kind of kept on. But they've got a sophomore, 6'7", 6'8", sophomore big kid that caused a little problem for us down low as well. And but we scrapped and we clawed and we fought as hard as we could. I was very proud of the guys and what they in the effort that they showed and the testament that the kind of goes to the credit goes to them. Walking the hallways of the gymnasium and to and from all the locker rooms and stuff, just got so many compliments from local men and women that just come to support high school basketball in that area, and just complimented how hard our guys fought and played, and how well of a team that they were. And so, you know, it was good to hear. We would have liked to come away with a couple more wins, but just really pleased with the experience that we had, and hopefully we can bring that experience back and carry what we learned into January and as we move on into the playoff time in February.
I'm not so sure if you took the top eight teams in the Huntsville area, they could probably play with the top eight teams in just about any other metropolitan area, be it Montgomery, be it Birmingham, be it Mobile. I would think that Huntsville would probably win more than they would lose.
I agree 100%. They play each other home and home all the time, and they beat up on each other, and it's crazy to see at the end of the year when you get to the regionals and Final Four just how many great teams are sitting there at home watching, but only because all those teams just kind of beat up and on each other all the time, and unfortunately only one can advance each round. So
yeah.
I would agree with you 100% there.
Well, you know, they got that AAU stuff going on up there. They play 13 months a year anyway, and so they don't take a break. And so they, you know, AAU's big up there. We got about a minute and a half.
What's next for y'all, Jimbo? What y'all got coming up?
Well, we're going to enter area play. We got the Gulf Shore. We have to go to Gulf Shores on the 4th. We got to go to Bay Minette and play Baldwin County on the 7th. And then that Saturday, the 8th, we'll host the Faith Academy Rams.
I got you.
So we get a couple of days off and to enjoy the new year and bring it in, but we get back to practice late Sunday and Monday as the kids start school again the following week and have three games.
There you go.
You know, I know you don't like to talk much about other teams, but I'm really excited for Daphne. I think they made a great hire in Reed Hotard, and I've watched him a couple of times. I really like the guy, and I think in the next couple of years you're going to see Daphne able to compete much better than they have in the last couple of years. But I'm excited about what Reed can do there at Daphne.
He does such a good job, and you know he spent so much time with a state championship coach and Philip Murphy and kind of learned the ins and outs of how to run a basketball program. And that's what he's doing. I know the first year is always real tough.
Yep.
Trying to implement that culture, but he's doing a great job of it, and I agree with you.
Hey, thanks, pal. Look, take care of yourself. Good luck. We look
Happy
forward
New
to
year,
seeing
buddy.
You. Happy New Year, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Happy
take
New
care.
All right,
man.
Bye-bye. Jimbo Tobin, head basketball coach at Spanish Fortune.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Good,
that's a great
good
job.
Yeah, yeah.
Good job. Good guy. Thank the world of Jimbo. We'll be back with more. Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
Premier Collision is your home for all your auto body and collision problems. Good quality parts, professional staff, and the best prices in town. Give our buddy Chris Garris a call at 251-478-4500, located at 1177 Sledge Drive in Mobile, Alabama. I want to take a second here and wish all of our friends and family at Fox Sports Central Alabama, right out of Sylacauga, Alabama, I want to wish you the happiest of holidays and the merriest of, formerly Merry Christmas. We miss that, but I wanted to get that in because a lot of great people in that area, and I miss them dearly, and that's home. That is home. And I know, James, up around that area where you grew up, around the Marbury,
Verbena.
That Verbena area, I know good.
Time never
man.
Changes.
It doesn't change. It just doesn't
same.
Change.
I go back on a routine basis and drive through, and I did notice there was a different limb had fallen on
oh,
one
God.
Of the dirt roads.
That's funny. That's kind of
you
funny.
Know, and the cow had gotten to the end of the field and it turned around coming back.
You know, I had a conversation with Mark Freeman. Of course, Mark Freeman's head football coach at Thompson High. high school, and he said, "Rick, let me tell you something. Everybody's been talking about Jeremiah Alexander, who you Alabama yes. people know is just a five-star suspect, prospect, and signed with Alabama, and I know y'all are excited about him." Mark did tell me, he said, "Rick, I'm thinking, I really believe that Peter Woods will end up being equally as good, if not better, than Mr. Alexander." But Mark has the highest regard for Jeremiah Alexander and thinks sure. he'll play at Alabama quickly. Yeah. But this young man is something special. Peter Woods, Mark, if you get a chance,
I saw him.
You saw him?
I saw him playing a state championship game.
Big-time player.
Yeah, no doubt.
Big-time player.
He can play inside. He can play outside on the defensive front. He can play
quick
either
feet.
One. Quick feet, very strong, yes. very man. He's got a motor that doesn't shut off.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, my brother was sitting there with me, and I said, "Look, from what I understand, this kid, this Wood kid, yeah. Is going to be one of the top prospects in the country
yeah.
next year."
Right.
And watch him go. And we watched him, and he was like – and my brother keeps up with all this recruiting stuff.
Yeah.
He loves it. He loves it. And Danny's just like, "Wow, that guy's all over the field."
Right.
Then
yeah.
the next best one he saw, that kid was tremendous. He's bigger. Was the Curtis Perry from Pike Road.
Pike Road.
You know, those yeah. two defensive linemen, and with Alexander, then that's three defensive linemen that I'm telling you right now are as good as anybody I've seen.
Well, Curtis Perry's going to Alabama.
Yeah, too. I know.
See, both
I know.
He and Alexander. I wanted to do this real quick. Then I want to talk with James about some Charleston gas.
Yes.
I really want to talk about those gas lanterns.
Okay.
And electric lanterns
and electric.
As well,
and
too.
Electric.
I want to go over back and lineman of the year that the Alabama Sports Writers Association, and Ben Thomas and his folks do a wonderful job with that. I don't know how they do it, but I wanted to give those nominees. In 7A, the back of the year nominees are Connor Harrell, the quarterback from Thompson, Ryan Pepins, the wide receiver from Thompson, and Evan Smith, the quarterback from Oak Mountain. Three pretty doggone good football players.
Yeah.
Lineman of the year, Jeremiah Alexander from Thompson. Drew Bobo, offensive lineman from Auburn, who had committed to Auburn when his dad, Mike, was dismissed.
Right.
He said, "Nope, we're going to go to Georgia." So Mike Bobo's son, Drew's going to offensive.
I get that. It's a legacy thing.
I do, too.
Thing.
I agree with that. Yeah. And he's an offensive lineman from Auburn High School. And then Justin Finkley, that big defensive lineman from Hewitt Trustful, who, boy, he set the woods on fire up there. In 6A, back of the year, Caleb Johnson, quarterback from Clay Chalkville. Braylon McReynolds, running back from McGill-Tulane, had over 2,000 yards rushing for McGill this year. He was the money back for those guys. And then Earl Woods, a quarterback from Hueytown, are the nominees for the back of the year. The lineman of the year, Trevor McAlpine, a big defensive lineman from Saraland. And if I'm not mistaken, he is signed with West Virginia. Big-time player that played for Jeff Kelly out there at Saraland. John McMillan, a linebacker from Mountain Brook, and Jacquivius Rousseau, from a defensive lineman from Carver-Montgomery, are the nominees for the lineman of the year. In Class 5A, Quinshon Judkins, a running back from Pike Road, who we saw, and he's a phenomenal player.
No doubt.
DeMarcus Lacey, a running back from Pleasant Grove, and Parker Mountain, a quarterback from Fairview, and I don't know very much about Parker.
Mm-hmm.
In the lineman of the year, Inez Cooper from Pleasant Grove, who I watched and is a wonderful player. And then Robert Courtney, a linebacker from UMS Wright, who I think has been just phenomenal for UMS Wright. Jay Cozio has done such a wonderful job with him. And Robert Courtney certainly deserves to be one of the final three as a defensive lineman for Class 5A. And then Curtis Perry, who I think will probably win that award, a defensive lineman from Pike Road. In Class 4A, the back of the year, Antonio Kite, defensive back from Anniston High School. Will Stokes, a running back from Madison Academy, and Walter Taylor, a quarterback from up the road here at Jackson. The lineman of the year in 4A, Deuce Spurlock, a linebacker from Madison Academy. Michael Towner, a linebacker, defensive lineman from Vigor, who's an excellent, number seven for Vigor,
yes.
heck of a player. And then Robert Woodyard, linebacker from Williamson, who flipped on Alabama and is now going to Auburn. That was a big deal.
Yeah, it was.
Robert Woodyard had a tremendous career at Williamson. In Class 3A, the back of the year nominees are Jeremiah Cobb from Montgomery Catholic, pretty doggone good player.
He's
for
a good
the
one.
People that saw him. And Jashawn Cooper, running back from Montgomery Academy, who we saw in the state championship game.
One.
And then Jack Hayes, a quarterback from Piedmont. It's a legacy. You coached against his brother in the state championship game.
And Jack is a player.
Something special.
Yeah, he is.
Something special. He's just another running back at quarterback.
That's what he is.
And nobody accounts for the quarterback to run the football. Lineman of the year, T.J. Dudley from Montgomery Catholic, another one that we saw in a state championship game. Good football player. A.J. Odom, defensive lineman from Oakman. Landon Smart, who was impressive in the comeback for Piedmont, played linebacker for him. Really good player. In Class 2A, the back of the year, Emmanuel Henderson, running back from Geneva County. A lot of people say he's the best running back to come out of the Wiregrass in many years. He's headed to Alabama as well. Jamarian Johnson, a wide receiver, defensive back from Clark County, played for our buddy up at Clark County.
Coach Luker.
That's right. Coach Luker, and boy, he thinks the world of that kid. And Logan Washburn, we saw him at quarterback for Cleveland. In 2A, the lineman of the year nominees. Well, that doesn't leave me there. Kedrick Falk, defensive lineman from Highland Home, the Flying Squadron. Kobe Keenum, an offensive lineman from Mars Hill Bible, who we thought would win the state championship in 2A.
True.
And then Caden Story, the son of the coach at Lynette.
Right.
In Class 1A, the back of the year, Javon Bell from Pickens County, Braden Kyle from Decatur Heritage, and Jalen Lewis Horton from Sweetwater, state champion Sweetwater. Lineman of the year, Kedrick Brown from Brantley, Michael Allen Cole from Sweetwater, and Tyler Ward from Sweetwater. Good chance that somebody from Sweetwater will be the lineman
good
of the
chance.
Year. That's pretty good.
Good chance.
So that's pretty cool. James, we got a couple of minutes here, and I want you to tell us a little bit about Charleston Gas Lanterns because, I mean, you've got customers all over the country and you stay on the road. Tell us about that.
You know, it's one of those occasions where you have an opportunity. End of the year, you look back on where you were at the end of last year, and you look back. We've been blessed in our history of our company. We have stayed true to our tradition. We make it here in Alabama, U.S. made by U.S. materials, and we build stuff to fit the space. We just have drawings and stuff on our website, but we'll build it and design it for the space. We'll cut you a template and send it out. And when we do that, all across the country, designers, architects, cannot believe that we go to such extremes to make sure that they get a visual of what they see on the drawings. But we have great craftsmen. And the true asset of your company is not what you have in the way of a building or machinery. It's your people. And we have high-quality people that combine their talents to produce some of the most beautiful products for absolute estates, single homes, ones and twos, 50s, 20s, complete commercial development. So we're very blessed to not only the United States, but we just finished a development 2 weeks ago in order Grand Cayman Islands because they discovered that our products do not go through galvanic action on the coast. We're known for that. There's no steel on our products. All copper and American-made brass, so you don't get deterioration like you see these other things from China and places that just fall off the wall. You know,
that is so neat. And where I really noticed it was coming out of Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Yes.
And I saw the sorority houses, and there's these big
every one of them.
Just beautiful.
All the way down the line. We started down there. We just were pleased about that. And I will say that my daughter's name is engraved on the Kappa Kappa Gamma,
along with
Biddy Jordan, Leroy's wife, who was a graduate in 68 there, or 69, and so I dedicated those lanterns to Biddy Jordan and of course, my daughter, Rachel Dennis, met her down.
And then you look out at South Alabama, and you look
up
at that tower.
Yes. Yes, my Moulton Lantern. That's my special place, buddy.
All right, we're getting out of here.
Thank you, Rick.
We'll be back with more on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
You know, if you're riding around today, go by Pop's Marketplace. They got all kind of goodies over there, right across the street from Ruth Chris. You want to go over there? Great place, great people. They'll treat you just like family. Mark?
You know, this week we had a tournament out at Bayside Academy Girls High School Basketball Tournament. There were four teams. It was Faith Academy, Bayside, Baldwin County High School, and McIntosh. And I wanted to give a shout-out to this young lady from number four from Faith Academy, Kellyan Hunter, just one of the best players I've seen play in quite a while. I mean, she was very composed at all times. She was not overly tall, but, man, she was quick. She plays tenacious defense, did a great job with that, and I wanted to give her a shout-out, as well as our basketball coach, Coach Brittany Davidson, for just the fantastic tournament that she ran, and appreciate all the teams that came out and played. It was a lot of fun to watch those girls play and compete for the last 3 days.
I'm a big fan of women's basketball and softball. It gets my attention. It, I like watching.
Lot of fun.
Yes,
a lot of fun.
One of the traditions here on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report for many years, as we do the annual New Year's Day show, is we remember those that we've lost in our profession in the last year, and we want to continue that this morning. And as we go through these, Mark, if you have a comment, feel free to make them, but I'm going to go through them pretty quick. We've got a pretty extensive list of people we've lost this year, and please remember their families in your prayers if you are so inclined to do so. A guy that we thought the world of, Robert Herring. We lost Coach Herring, former Oxford High School football coach. We lost him in March of this year. In September, we lost old Ron Cheatham. Ron was the head football coach at Winona High School. 65 years old, much too young to just a sad one. One of Phil Lazenby's dear friends, Carol Cox, head football coach at Jess Lanier. We lost Coach Cox. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2021, 70 years old. We thought the world of Coach Carol Cox. And then Rodney Scott, the Leah Montgomery girls basketball coach, died. We certainly remember him. In January, we lost Derek Johnson, Huffman High School wrestling and football coach.
Yes.
Then we also lost Coach Wayne Trawick. Boy, lots and lots of great memories with Wayne Trawick, Central of Phoenix City. Wonderful, wonderful friend to many of us in high school coaching and one of the fiercest competitors I've ever been around. Also inducted into the Hall of Fame in the last couple of years. Lusher Lane, Montgomery Public Schools, coached at Capitol Heights Middle School. Dwayne Berry, Leah Montgomery assistant football coach. DeCarlos Perkins, Park Crossing assistant coach. We lost those gentlemen in January. In February, we lost a legend down at Foley High School. We lost Coach Ivan Jones, also a Hall of Fame member. Lived a wonderful, wonderful life, 94 years old, Mark, and he was a mentor to both you and I, a guy who we thought the world of here. Christopher Harrell, Southside Selma High School basketball coach, was tragically murdered by two suspects in a robbery attempt outside of a restaurant. Chris went to pick up dinner for his family, and he was accosted by several men and was shot and killed. Such a sad story. In March of 2021, we lost Mary Birdwell. Yep, from Hoover High School, 89 years old, also a member of the Hall of Fame. Then in April, we lost Coach Shorty White from Banks High School. Boy, I'm one of the luckiest guys in the world to have had the opportunity to coach at Banks High School. It's almost like they're skeletons that just build you up when you walk into that locker room, and Shorty White is the reason. Then we lost Glenn Daniel, a legend down in South Alabama in the Wiregrass at Laverne High School, 95 years old, one just amazing man. Jim McCain, Cottonwood High School. Jim actually was finished his career over in Mississippi after he retired in Alabama. He led Cottonwood to a perfect season, 15-0 in 1986, and he led the baseball team to 56 straight wins there. In June of 21, we lost our buddy Joe Evans, who was worked for the Alabama High School Athletic Association. He retired as the associate executive director, but we knew him as the head basketball coach at Southside in Selma, also an assistant to Coach Gene Bartow at UAB. And, boy, you talking about a guy that could recruit. If he went into a young man's house, the first person he got to fix him dinner was the mama of those players, right. And they pretty much ended up at UAB. We sure do miss Joe Evans. In July, we lost Jerry Brown, Valley Head High School head football coach. In August, Kasson Demetrius Bullard, Escambia County assistant coach. We lost Robert Ariel Watson, Baldwin County football coach, was 74 years old. Then in September of 2021, Chance Bird, a Lincoln High School assistant coach, only 25 years old, Mark. Mm-hmm. Such a sad loss there. And Mike Luke Farr, Opelika High School. I tell you, he graduated from Opelika High School. He was also the Hanley High School public address announcer. Correct. Mike died in a car wreck, 27 years old. And then Trez Lane, Alexandria High School wrestling coach, we lost him in September as well. And then in November, we lost Larry Senior from Lauderdale County, also a member of the Hall of Fame. Just a wonderful, wonderful man who, boy, if you ever heard him speak, you would remember him. He was something special. Of course, here in Mobile, we lost Hank Aaron, an amazing man, 86 years old. He's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. We also lost Don Sutton from Clio High School in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He also attended some school in Pensacola as well. In February, we lost Josh Evans. Played for Bill Clark at UAB, an NFL standout, played at Lynette High School for Coach Story, if I'm not mistaken. Then we lost Rowdy Harrell, a University of Alabama native, a former University of Alabama athlete, native of Moundville, Alabama. He died in a car crash with his wife. They were on their honeymoon, Mark. Yep. He and his wife had just gotten married, and it's a sad, sad story. Anthony Thompson, 1986, Selma High School football and baseball standout. I can remember when Anthony Thompson was drafted in the Major League Baseball draft in 1987. We lost him this year, too. And then, of course, in August, we lost one of the great men in college football, Bobby Bowden, former Woodlawn High School standout and longtime Florida State football coach. Here locally, I can remember talking to a lot of Murphy people that said Keith McCants was probably the best football player that ever wore a jersey for Murphy High School, and there's been a lot of them, I can promise you that. Keith McCants passed away in August, 53 years old. Of course, had a great NFL career with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and was a tremendous football player for the University of Alabama. And then Dimitri McKee, Robert E. Lee High School, died after practice 1 week before the season. Leighton Ellison from Alexandria High School died of an accidental electrocution while working on a down power line. That's a 220 graduate right there from Alexandria. And then Will Fowler, who's a band member, 17 years old, first student in Alabama to die from what we went through with COVID. Then we lost Jimmy Fuller. Boy, a lot of great memories with Jim Fuller. He was one of us, Mark. He's an offensive line guy, played at Alabama for Coach Bryant, was an assistant coach there and coached the offensive line at Alabama. And, boy, you and I could probably tell a lot of stories about being on the board with Jimmy Fuller.
Yes, sir.
He was an athletic director and head football coach at Jacksonville State. What a sweet, sweet man, but an intense competitor. Isaiah Campbell from Lexington High School, a sophomore tennis player, was killed in an automobile accident. In October, we lost Miles Butler from Homewood, former basketball player on the 2016 state championship team. He drowned in floodwaters. He drowned with his girlfriend right there in Birmingham. Derek Morris was a Houston County school administrator. He died in October as well, and I know the people in Houston County miss Derek. Boy, he was so well-loved by the people. He's a former athlete at Rehoboth, and he coached the Slocum Red Tops, and, boy, he was loved in that community. November, we lost Timothy Croxton, Hill County high school football and basketball player, who also died in a car accident. Grant Hill, former University of Alabama offensive line and Huntsville High School standout, 27 years old. Michael Smith, Enterprise High School freshman, great track. Boy, they just great expectations for Michael Smith at Enterprise. He was shot while in a car drive-by shooter in downtown Enterprise. We lost some tremendous sports writers. Bill Lumpkin, Mark, we grew up with him. We all grew up with Bill Lumpkin. I'm sure, James, you remember reading some of his bylines with the Birmingham Post-Herald. Yeah. And then Charles Hollis, who was probably one of the kindest men I've ever known. And as a sports writer, he was so kind, and he was so respectful of so many of us coaches, and he was such a great person to be interviewed by. And then Cecil Hurt from the Tuscaloosa News. We just lost him recently. I don't think there was anybody that was more loved than Cecil Hurt in Tuscaloosa. Coach Saban sure mentioned him as in many, many occasions as one of the finest that he'd ever been around. Yeah. Just recently, I got a call this morning from Ron Ingram. We lost a tremendous high school basketball official named Bill Galdon. Bill Galdon was a premier basketball official, but really he was a great softball official, and he played fast pitch softball with one of the best teams in the Southeast as a catcher. Mr. Galdon, I can't even tell you how many of the games that I was blessed to coach in that he officiated. Bill Galdon, gone much too young. Hope you'll remember as many of these as you can remember their names, but if you would just remember these that we lost, just a tragic, tragic time for a lot of families that lost people that were so important in the athletic world when it came to high school sports in the state of Alabama. You're listening to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. We wish you the happiest of all New Year's Day right here on January 1, 2022.
This segment of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile, is the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
Happy New Year, everyone. January the 1st. Everybody has new things going on today. After this day is over, I hope to get on my diet and lose some weight. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And those are things, that's New Year's resolutions. That's what we do. And, you know, 21 was a tough year in a lot of ways, and a good year in a lot of ways. As I look to 2022, I just have this great hope that, you know, there's always going to be new ways to do everything. I don't know, you know, I talked to my dad back during Christmas, and he and I were sitting around the house talking, and I kind of got onto this subject. You know, Dad, you were born in 1936 in a little area outside of Gadsden known as Coates Bend, which is just a bend in the Coosa River. And you worked there as a kid growing up on that farm. That's what you did. And now, you didn't have a TV. You didn't have running water. I don't know if y'all had lights. You had a radio. And all the, you know, that's the way life was back in the 1930s and 40s. And then he moving into the 50s. You know, Dad was a big baseball player. That's what he liked to play, was baseball. But as, you know, we propel him forward to now, Dad's 85 years old. You know, and I said, Dad, what is it like to go from that, sitting around a fire with no TV, maybe a radio that does or does not work, to now where everything is out at your hand, right at your fingertips? What is that like? And I'll never forget that moment. He looked at me and he says, one thing is still the same as it was when I was born into this world and back in 36 and as I grew up a youngster until it is right now, as I sit in this room with all of my kids and grandkids, as I sit here, the thing that resonates with me is that the most important thing that you have all the way through is family. It just doesn't change, Mark. And man, you know, Rick, It's so true. Things change. The world changes, and we have to adapt to get through it. I was reading something, you know, in the 1964 Tokyo Olympic Games, there was a sprinter who ran in that deal by the name of Bob Hayes. You remember him?
Yeah, I remember Bob.
Played wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Anyway, it says Bob Hayes tied the Olympic record on his way to winning the gold medal in 100-meter dash. Just a few months later, he was dashing past defensive backs as a wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. Turning a world-class sprinter into a football player was a radical concept at the time. Yet Hayes' success altered defensive strategy and how the way football is played. All right, well, and it continues to change today.
Yeah.
You know, and I've tried to we'll tie all this together. I know you think I've kind of gone off on where in the world are you headed? In 1930s to the 2020s, world has changed. Techniques have changed. Athletes are bigger and stronger. Our world is faster. Everything's faster. You got to have everything right now. There's so much stuff out there that kids see now that, like, you know, I didn't know anything about when I was 16 years old. Our kids today know how to find out information about something in Beijing on their phone, you know. To me, something was called microfish. You remember that?
Yeah.
You had to go look it up at the library to find out something. Well, it's changed, but what hasn't changed, Rick, what hadn't changed, Charlie, is the fabric of what God intended for all of us, and that was to love our family.
Yeah.
And remember what holidays are for. What is Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving's my favorite time. I love giving thanks. I'm a gratitude guy. That's just me. I love to think about what I have to be grateful for, even in bad times. Christmas is a great time. Because it's not about what I get. It's about what I get to give.
Amen.
What I get to give. Now, here's the thing. I get to give that to my family. Because that's the most important thing in the world to me is my kids, my wife, my mom and daddy, my brothers, my nieces. Yeah. Those are the most important things.
Yeah.
No matter how things change, still go right back into our Bible and we find out what it says about what is important. To the weak I became weak in order to win the weak.
Amen.
I have become all things to all people so that I may by all means save some. 1 Corinthians 9:22. Now, as I look through how this world has changed, God's word doesn't change.
Yeah.
His concepts don't change. Families are the most important thing. Our love for one another is the most important commandment ever given. And man, Rick, I tell you, it's just a blessing to be able to sit here. I love this grace segment. I appreciate so much being able to share things and getting things from other people. And man, it just means so much to me and my life.
You know, I want to piggyback that. I want to tell a story. I want to tell a story about Bill Buckner. Do you remember Bill Buckner?
I do.
You know, Bill Buckner died recently, and we know Bill Buckner from the Boston Red Sox.
Yes.
You remember when he allowed a slow-rolling ground ball to go through his legs in the sixth game of the 1986 World Series? Well, you know, really, one of the local guys, David Stapleton, generally would have been in the game in that situation. But it allowed the Mets to come back and win that game. And in the next World Series, people blame Buckner for the loss. He had to move as far away from New England as possible.
Right.
Now let's move forward to 2008 when Buckner was invited back to Fenway Park for a celebration of the Red Sox 2007 championship. He was invited to throw the game's first pitch. Everybody gave him a two-minute ovation. He said, "So glad I came." He realized that they had forgiven him and he had forgiven them. You know, Mark, life is about making mistakes and forgiveness. Is there somebody that you need to forgive today?
Yeah.
There's several I need to. That reminded me of what you were talking about. Hey, folks, thank you for being here today. Happy New Year to you out there. We are so blessed to be able to spend Saturday mornings with you. And remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. From Mark Lassiter and Rick Cleveland and the entire staff of Prep Sports Report, we wish you a happy and blessed New Year.